22 of Proverbs, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. All right, Norm, hit us with that. If you have been sleeping in a tent under a rock with no...
Sorry. I went to sleep. What can I tell you?
With no region... Well, I'll set it up and you're going to play it eventually. With no telephone, radio, cell phone, pictures, computer, anything, since Friday, you may have missed this. Do you get television on the cruise?
Yes.
Did you sit down next year, watch TV, or you out doing fun and something?
But we did have Fox News on.
Oh, well, you've heard about it then. All right. Friday, there was a... Was it Friday? It was Monday. Monday, right? Monday is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade thing. And we have had peaceful rallies every year celebrating... No, I'm sorry. Celebrating is not the word. Bemoaning and praying to God for guidance and for the souls and the lives of the unborn children. There have been protests from time to time over it. This past Monday, a incident took place. Now, is anybody here not aware of the incident? Okay, good. Then I'm going to short, or you listen real well, I'll teach you. A group from Covington Catholic, which is just south of Cincinnati, group of boys, been saving the money all year, and they went up to stand for the right to life. That just, and I don't know if the protests, they weren't throwing things, they weren't doing anything. When they came out to their bus stop for to be picked up, they were confronted. Now, let me give you the news story, and let me give you the real story, which the news somewhat omits. Supposedly, there was a group of Native Americans who were chanting, not about the abortion thing whatsoever, but about how bad the Indians, or Native Americans, if you wish. Hey, I'm part Native Americans. I'm going to say Indian because that's the way I feel like. They were chanting about how bad they've been treated. For one reason or another, a guy named Phillips, make me see it. I mean, that's the picture I want.
It's warming up.
Can you back it up?
Can I who?
Back it up. I want to see the walk. This gentleman right here, the Native American, was quite a bit away playing a medicine drum. Like that. And he sees this group here. Now, the young boy is wearing a mega hat. If you don't know what mega hat is, it doesn't matter. If you do, it doesn't matter because you already know what it is. Make America great again. This Mr. Phillips...
Was Saturday?
There he goes. He gets into this young boy's face right here, and just with this drum that you can see, that's what I want. That wasn't the walk, but with this drum, that's about 6 or 8 inches. Can I stand in front of any of y'all and hit a pie pan for about 20 minutes and you wouldn't be upset? Probably wouldn't take that long, would it? Well, the young boy sat there, and that's supposed to be, I quote you, a white man's smirk. Yeah. Now, I've never heard that term before, but that's supposedly what it is. This kid and all these other kids from his school did nothing. They stood there. At the same time, in this area here, is a group that I'm going to have to learn more about. It's called the Black Nation of Israel Jews. Black Jews Nation of Israel. And they're chanting ugliness. I mean, absolutely ugliness at these kids. Okay, that's what's going on. So here this is all going on. And I know you're part Native American, more than I am, but I got it from two different sources. I'm Shawnee and Pocahontasese too, so I got two sources. But my pieces don't man up to yours. I got more than Elizabeth Warren though. And it gets ugly. First, what had been happening is the Native Americans were at odds with the group of the black Israelites over here, who are a very subversive, a very ugly group. Then they turned on the kids. The word gets out after this thing had been spliced. You got the next part? After this thing had been spliced, that the kids started it all, and they went after the drummer. Well, where so many pieces came out, it got unspliced, and it got full up and realized that these kids did nothing but stand there and took it. The school wants to kick them out of school. The school, without hearing the whole details, the school apologized for them because they feel like the school, Covenant Catholic, it's a big school right out of Cincinnati, is going to be besmirched. These kids stood there and took it. Now, remember 2 weeks ago we talked about people, was it this Sunday? I think it was 2 weeks ago. We talked about on Sunday morning about people are going to be, we're going to be persecuted. Some rapper has put out a reward for people who will damage these boys, hurt them physically, take pictures of it. He will send him a signed autographed copy of his music. That was on the news yesterday. He broadcast it. There are people who are calling the school, threatening to blow it up. There are people who are calling the parents, job sites. If you don't fire them, we'll come in there and destroy your company. Persecution is started. The boys are there protesting quietly, peacefully, abortion. They're picked on. So sometimes y'all think I may go overboard about this persecution stuff. I rest my case. And if you've got 30 minutes to look it up on the internet and watch the whole thing, you will see that things are not going that well for truth and honor. But here's what Solomon said. About 850 to 900 BC, he says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. It is esteemed to be esteemed better than silver or gold. We will have to make a choice. Now, I'm giving you not a prophecy, but a reading of what we know that's in the Bible. We will have to make a choice to do right or go with the flow. It's happening all over our country today. Be prepared. Because God, you know, if you don't take a stand for God, you've already taken a stand against God. It is that simple. Poor and rich have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. We do see in our society, in our area, and probably even in our families or friends, people who are not very well advantaged. And the poorest of anyone here is far richer than most people in the world. You say, well, that's not fair. I would like somebody to search out the scriptures. I don't care if you do it in Hebrew or Greek or English, New International, King James, Old King James, Before King James. I don't care. Find me where it says that God demands fairness. What does God demand? Not fairness. What does He demand? And what does He give us? Would you say justice, righteousness? Those type of things. It's never said it's fair. If it was fair, we'd all be blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 6'6", and driving a Cadillac. Or a Maserati, I don't know. But the common thing is that we're all from the same maker. Therefore, we all have the same soul. And the rich person has the same soul responsibility as the poorest of us. It may be harder for them. What is that? It's easier for a camel to get through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Now, do not think about a sewing needle. I'm sorry. That's not what they're talking about. A needle, an eye of a needle was a round opening in the back of the wall of the city of Jerusalem, where they would come in at night so you couldn't come in and attack. So be prepared for that. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but a simple keep on going and suffer through it. Do you ever think this is not a good idea? If you have been in those snowstorms, that's hot, I wonder that. If you've been in those snowstorms, you've probably had a time, I really like to go to town. I really like to go get dinner. I really like to go see a movie. Then you look out there and you see the cars in front of you doing this kind of stuff or stuck in snowbanks. And you say, well, is that a good idea? Do I really need to go to town? Do I really need to do this or that or the other? And that's prudence. That's common sense. Do they still use that word at all anymore? Common sense. You know, what are we doing with our lives? Why are we making some things better or worse? This is a very famous one for Solomon. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many years ago, the Roman Catholic Church settled on that theory. And that's why they started Catholic schools, preschools, etc., etc., and teaching. One of the popes said, give me a child until they're 5 years old and I will have them forever. So the training is part of it. And anybody here never go through any training in your life that you still remember? I can't walk on a sidewalk. Let me finish that up. I can't walk on a sidewalk and step on crack. Oh, you've heard that, huh? Step on crack, you break your mother's back. You've heard that. You see? Something we heard probably in the first grade in elementary school or something like that. Don't walk underneath a ladder. But a lot of those old sayings that we probably, somebody for some reason, has said, yeah, it's probably the right idea. Well, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, who's the determination on the way that child should go? Who makes that decision? I mean, do you just get the book and read what Dr. Spock says and go by everything he told you to do? You call your mother, your grandmother, and ask how to raise a child. Your next door neighbor. Well, when I had these kids, here's the way I raised them. Two of them are in jail, you know. One of them is convicted or something like that. I'm not sure that's always the good advice. What's the answer? It's a simple answer, isn't it? To be godly children. Now, how is the best way of training? What's the best way to train someone? Example. Thank you. You can stay on the front row. My dad is left-handed. He didn't know he was, but he's actually born sight and everything. When he tried to learn to be a bricklayer, he wanted to put the trowel in his left hand. The guy that taught him was right-handed. It doesn't work. So Dad had to turn around, go in the other direction, and watch him and learn to lay with his right hand. Because he needed a teacher that could teach him his way, and he couldn't. And it was very hard on him. Sometimes we need to make sure that we have the right teacher. If you were hiring a governess or a nanny or a new Mary Poppins, anybody seen the new movie Mary Poppins? Have you? Is any good? Is she as good as Julie Andrews? Is he as good as Fred McMurray? Not Fred McMurray. Dick Van Dyke? Dick Van Dyke was? Well, you didn't say you was going to give me a spoiler alert. Now I don't need to.
He's a different character.
Oh, he's a different character. if you hired you a lady or a gentleman from England to be your nanny, and you lived in Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Tennessee, your kids are going to be looked at very funny. Because their teacher, who they're going to imitate, will be quite different than the position they're in. So we need to train our children the right way to go. And that way, have you never remembered something your parents or your grandparents told you years ago? Even if you, when you're an adult, say, oh, I shouldn't do that. Huh? I have. Anytime I did it anyway, I got in trouble. So, but train them the way they should go. People around us, train them the way they should go. Be an example. What does that do as I say and not as I do? That's not a good way to live. And that's not a good way to train somebody. But do it the right way. Here we go. Denise. The slothful man. See? What a perfect example. Denise brings a picture in of a three-legged sloth, three-toed sloth they saw. And the slothful man, Seth. I'm in 22:13. The slothful man said, if there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Did you actually see a living sloth? How did you know it was living? Huh?
He looked at you.
So actually, he barely looked at you. Turned his head and looked at you. Didn't jump down and shake your hand or ask for a peanut or nothing. Sloths are pretty much known as lazy, easygoing, slow creatures hanging upside down, letting the world go by. And how do they eat?
I don't know. I just thought you'd play charades with me.
You'd rather do what now?
Charades. You seen the commercial?
No. Was it on a sports show?
No, it was a Geico commercial.
Geico? Now, I like the lizard. Now they replaced it with a sloth.
Forget it.
It wasn't on a cooking show or a sports show. I didn't see it. Well, you know, the Stoffel means, you have met, I'm sure, people so lazy if their pants were on fire, they wouldn't spit to put it out. Si.
In the NIV, that word doesn't appear. What? Sluggard is used.
Sluggard?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Puts a whole different color on it.
What's a sluggard? He's a slothful person. NIV. So what we've got to say is we need a little bit of ambition amongst ourselves. We need to do something. My daddy's famous thing was, do something even if it's wrong. Just don't sit there. And one time in my life, I told my dad I was bored. We ended up shoveling about 4 tons of rock about 6 feet away. Never use the word bored again. No. Find something to do, even if it's foot pennies or something. Well, he's a slothful man. There's a line with that. I'll be slain in the streets. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go out and do anything. That's what he's saying. The slothful man didn't want to accomplish anything. Just sits at home. Something will go wrong anyway. Why bother? Where would we be, in all seriousness, if somebody like Edison didn't think of the bifocals or the many adventures that he made, turning still pictures into moving pictures? Or maybe better off there. Somebody like Ben Franklin with the old key and the string and the think of inventing, or not inventing, but finding uses for electricity. Where would we be if people from overseas didn't want an adventure and go around the world? And I love the point, discovery. They weren't discovered. It was already there. They just found out about themselves. Matter of fact, they're pretty much going to wipe Christopher Columbus off the map now. Yes. All the different things he did and the bad news, and a lot of the statues are even coming down about Christopher Columbus. What would it be if somebody didn't say, cranberries are good if you put sugar in them? You ever tried your raw cranberry? Sort of bitter, aren't they? But you put sugar in it. What would it be if some fella, cocoa, we all know about cocoa, you know the cocoa berries and the leaves that they chew? It's nasty stuff. Till you put a little milk and a little sugar, and all of a sudden we got Hershey's, and the world's great after that, you know. So we've got to make movements and go forward. We'd all be riding horses and using buggy whips if, it's not Ford, Ford's Assembly, was it, with a Chevrolet or one of the old timers that actually put the motorized vehicle together and made it work. No, Henry Ford put it in the production time. He made it mass production. He did not invent the car. Chevrolet. With a Chevrolet. He's not even spelled Chevrolet. I don't know why they come with that word. So we've gone forward. Gutenberg. Y'all would be looking at a scroll 10 foot wide, reading this right now, if Gutenberg hadn't come up with the idea of the movable type printing press. We need people to think about it and get off the horses and go with it. Foolish is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I think more than once, Solomon, how does that say it in King James? New International, rather. Verse 15. Let's see what he says.
Folly.
Folly
is
my son is in your wise. Well, that's not the word I want. 22:15. That's 23:15. Let's go back this page. They're stuck together. 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. So foolishness bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline. He also says spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, I don't know about your parents. I don't know about you as parents. But I do know about the rod. And there are things that I still think of today. Nah, Daddy wouldn't like that. Daddy been dead for 11 years. Daddy wouldn't like that. And I thought about times when Daddy didn't like it, and I realized it's probably better to stay on the right side. So he's saying that there needs to be some type of corporal discipline. Now, I know some of you men and ladies have been involved in the military. And I do frequently think that when that master sergeant meets you when you come off the bus looking like, you know, Johnny Long Hair and all that kind of stuff. And he says, I am your mother, I am your father, I'm your... He didn't say, let's go play a deck of cards. Larry, did that happen to you? You heard that speech. Did he welcome you for tea and crumpets after that? Muffins and hot chocolate? Probably not. Because he wanted you to do it his way. Well, kind of like that's good for the family, and sort of like that's good for God's children. He gave us the 10 suggestions. And he wanted, no, I'm sorry. Commandments. He gave us the 10 commandments. And he kind of wanted us to follow along for a reason. Because most of those were better off. And that's what Solomon's saying. So don't be afraid to tell somebody when they're wrong. The rod of correction. Remove not ancient landmark which your fathers have set. As the Israelites traveled and got more powerful, they forgot the old ways. They forgot the things that had made them closer to God. They had forgot their covenant relationships. Every time they cross the river, you remember they stack up 12 stones to remind the 12 tribes and these type of things. They forgot their history. And as you've heard, those who do not remember history are doomed to repeat it. How many times have we done the same thing over and over and the results haven't changed? A lot of times when God has asked us to remember these memorials is to remember what went right and what went wrong. Any of y'all want to admit you belong to a sorority or fraternity? One? I know a couple of you probably have. Do they still do demerits?
Not in mine.
Not in yours. You were Delta, 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 weren't you?
No.
Oh. That's too many words for me. But there's a lot of them. I know when my grandson went through last year, he belongs to the same fraternity that Orville Redenbacher belongs to. Cowboys and countrymen. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have steak every time I have a meeting. But do we remember why we do things? Now, as a nation, we try to. Give me an example of how the nation remembers things. Simple question. Really not a deep one. Huh? Nobody? I pledge allegiance to the flag. Is that not a try to be a remembrance of what the nation is? Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, on and on and on. There are a lot of things we have put up to try to remember what our country has gone through, usually, hopefully, intentionally, so we won't have to go through it again. Well, if we can take the advice... Yes, ma'am.
The Vietnam
Memorial, of course. Thank you. Do we have is there a miniature one of those somewhere in Charlotte County? In Ponte Gorda, even better. So we've got the Vietnam Memorial, and we've got the statue of Ponce de Leon in the same area. That's pretty good. The old and the older. Those kind of things are important for us. Particularly family reunions. Those kind of things are important to us. Beck and I are going to our 50th high school reunion. And probably everybody's been invited is going on a diet next week, you know, because they got till October to get where they want to be, and don't want to look like we used to be, and we none of us look like we used to look 2 months ago, let alone 50 years ago. But those kind of memories, and remember the good old days. I'm looking at the age group. Most of y'all will qualify to have remembered watching Richie Cunningham, Happy Days, and the movie that preceded that called American Graffiti, because it reminds us of growing up. You're too young, I know.
No, I remember.
You remember? Who's your fan?
What?
Who's your favorite? Fonzie?
No.
Hey!
Marion.
Mama. But see, those kind of things... We should do what? Well, we should do that with God. And he's trying to remind the Jews, remember what God has done for you. And I don't think it should change any today. Remember what God has done for us. So when we look to those, and then verse 29, seek thou a man diligent in his business. Question again. Seek it. Are you looking for a man diligent in his business? He will stand before the kings. He will not stand before mean men. Are you an upright person? Is what I read there. He's pushing that. And don't think, as king, that everybody presented themselves to Solomon with what they said they were. There were a lot of pretenders back then, just as there are today. Now, there's a lot said, non-political, please. There's a lot said about how many people in the Trump White House have come and gone. Go back to any president. It's always been a treadmill. You're either used up or you're not ready for the position. And not everybody that's named to a position, be it politics, be it in the military, be it in a factory, not everybody's a good leader. Denise, you and Si both have been involved in college education. Not everybody that y'all thought you were coming in would be good teachers or good workers in your departments made it. Some people look good. You know, I've heard about, oh, that person's got a great resume. There's about 40 different places they've been. Well, that's probably a reason for that, you know. Maybe that resume is a little bit too good, and it doesn't get there. Any questions on 22? When you set, 23, when you set to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you. When you set to eat, when you're down being personal with a ruler, think about what's before you. And put a knife to your throat if thou be a man given to appetite. What? Be not desirous of the dainties, for they are deceitful. They are deceitful meat. Self-deportment. Don't go to your boss's house that you just met and tell him you want the biggest cut of steak, the biggest pile of fate de gras, goose liver, and those type of things. Pate de foie gras. You may read that? Yeah, ain't much to brag about, trust me. Have you? Did you like it? I didn't. It's like eating potted meat from Publix to me. Just ground up and don't know what. But I put a knife to your own throat. Hold it back, throttle it back. I knew a guy who owned a big business of very successful people. Before he hired him, he'd take him out to dinner. A nice dinner. They'd be sitting there, just the two of them. And he said, within 2 minutes, I knew whether they were going to hire him or not. Because when they talked about themselves. And when they ate, the first thing, here was the giveaway. When they ate, if the person picked up the salt shaker and salted everything, he fired them. Wouldn't hire them. Because they already made up their mind there wasn't going to be enough salt to suit them. And he said, if your mind's not open to what I've got for you to learn, I don't need you. So, be not desirous of his dainties. They are deceitful meat. I guess don't get the fanciest thing on the table. And who, Carol, bought the big old nice thing of cookies back there with all little foo-foo on them? Where'd you get those?
Dino.
Well, Dino did a good job on the two that I had. Is there any left over? Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Do you like to work? What's the saying? Some people eat to work, and some people work to eat. If you dread, and I know it's happened maybe in different periods of your life, but if you say, I got to go to work today, it's going to be terrible, I don't like the boss doesn't like me, I don't like anybody working there, I don't know why I do this except I want cars and TVs and vacations. You're not going to accomplish near as much as somebody says, man, I hate the weekend. I can't go to work. I got all this stuff lined up. Give me something to do. Your sister would not let me retire. She said, I'm the worst house guest ever. Follow around. So what do you want me to do? get out of my way. I've been keeping the house all week without you. Monday, you know, holidays. Oh, move. Go find something to do. Go out in the garage and lose yourself or something. Doesn't matter. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Don't associate with people that are going to get you in trouble. That's what we've got to learn. Who do we associate with? And why? Do we need somebody to look up to? Or do we need somebody that can help? Or do you want somebody to help you? So, an evil eye. You meant that with people. I'm not talking about maybe their physical eye was bad. Somebody just seemed like everything they looked at was bad and caused problems. They didn't want to be around them. You don't want to be around them. May I mention KKK? They didn't go up to a lot of good. I don't know if y'all had ancestors from the KKK, but they seemed to want to make a lot of disruption. Their theories, they did not like blacks, they did not like Jews, they did not like Catholics, and did the best they could against them. There are other places in this world. Huey Long, am I saying a word anybody remembers? Huey Long, the Black Panther Society that were very violent back in the 60s. Those that burned and caused troubles. I mean, there's a lot of people. David Tincher. What year was David called out and had to be gone for so many days when those riots were going on in Cincinnati? Was that in the late 60s or early 60s? Late 60s. And he was gone several days from what he told me. Had to be gone all day in the car, riding with a shotgun and everything. Yeah. Instigate. Don't run with people that cause instigations like that and can cause problems. It's not good. Watch the people, Levi. For a person, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay. Let me trade the word heart for two different things. One word I like to use is your conscience. Do you think with your conscience? Who am I going to help? Who can I harm with what I'm about to do or say? And the other thing would be a fair, in my mind, a fair translation, would be your soul. And it's hard to, soul is what God gave, your conscience is what you develop. And sometimes there can be a difference. Shouldn't be. But if you think mad and evil, you're always, anybody, like the woman who the doctor said, do you wake up grumpy in the morning? She said, no, I let him sleep till 10. You've met people like that. Just that, when I went down to the permit bureau, I told one woman, I said, that woman, I've been coming to permits for 12 years. I've never seen her smile. She said she's the sweetest woman in the world. But the mouth is always turned down looking like that. It's scary. So she's just a lovely woman, just doesn't know how to smile. Well, it doesn't show through. See, her kindness doesn't show through. She doesn't have a big cheery smile like you all do. And that's important that we can show that. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his heart was not with thee. I'm going to be your host, but I'm not happy about you being here. You've done that before, or you've had it done to you? Or Lou said it's funny. Lou did that to you? Well, true confessions today. The morsel which you have eaten shall thou vomit up and lose his sweet words. Or we're just going to be bad for you. It's all up here, it's all down here. And again, he's talking about this landmark again. Now, this one's a little bit different. Remove not the old landmark. This time I think he's talking about land. Enter not the fields of the fathers. Land. I've got Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee. Who else do I have in here? Illinois? Indiana? Who else? Now, you flatlanders. Maryland? Who's from Maryland? Oh, that's right. Sit right here. You flatlanders will make no sense out of this. I own 1/16 of 60 acres of property, and Daniel Boone could not find it. I've got the deed. You go to the rock in the middle of the bend of the Licking River. You go up to the yellow poplar. You go 17 steps. There's a my steps who's 5'7" or somebody who's 6'8" steps. You go 17 steps to the corner post of the old barn that fell down, but not the new barn. And then you turn left. Then you go to the rock with a chip out of the corner.
You can't follow that. You're not from Kentucky.
I guess I lived in Chicago too long. Because I mean, you go out there, you can see 1,000 acres in Kansas or Iowa or Illinois. The marks are all gone. The rocks have been washed away by the flood of 36. The barns have all fallen down 2 or 3 times. The tree that was a twig is now probably rotted for 50 years. The landmarks are gone. But in the old days, those were called deed markings, and they were legitimate. Don't go out to somebody's farm and move the deed markings. Don't change the... any of y'all ever... No, you know we don't have any cattle barons here, do we? Did you brand your cattle, Kenny? Did you brand your cattle? See, there was a trick in the old days. You get somebody's brand, and you can put a little mark on it or something like that and change it from the S to the lazy S or the rocket chair. You could do those kind of things. You were stealing stuff. Don't do that, Solomon said. Let the old landmark stay. Let it be. And again, do not enter the fields of the fatherless. They're very strong about protecting the widows and the orphans and the fatherless because they couldn't defend themselves. So a rich person moves over and he takes the land from somebody else, and that is not godly whatsoever. So a good background and a protection of children, whether it's our children or somebody else's children, we should be protective of them. Do not withhold correction of a child. He must have been really upset. Now, he's the one whose child came along after Solomon's death. When asked to take it easy on the people, he said, "My finger will be heavier than my father's thigh." In other words, I'm going to take everything I can get from you and then some. And they caused a split between the 2 tribes and the 10 tribes. So all this he said never landed to his own. Why is it possible that Solomon the wise, etc., etc., there's no absolute reason, but why could be some of the reasons that his children were terrible people? And his tribes, his 12 tribes, 10 of them left after he died. Why would that be?
Too many wives.
You know what? That may be the first place to start, but not the last place to end. Too many wives. So what's going on? Why would that be a problem? I mean, yes, of course. No, that's not the way it'd be worded. Why did it cause him a problem? Let me put it that way.
Every mother raises their children pretty much.
Well, so his sons were raised different. That's very good. Charles, you had your hand up.
Well, I think what he did was God told him what to do, and he didn't do it. I mean, he asked for wisdom. God gave him all the wisdom, and then he didn't go by the rules, like one wife and all this other stuff. He just did whatever he wanted.
Now that's what twice wives have brought in. Once about taking 2 wives, once about multiple children. What else could the wives have to do with it? What else did the wife? What else do we know specifically that the wives had to do with it? Charles again.
They
brought their own gods in. Because he didn't marry all Hebrew women. Matter of fact, we're not sure they married very many of all of Hebrew women. But every time he would make a peace treaty with somebody, and they want to say, "I tell you what, Solomon, we'll pay you taxes. You don't come in with David's army and destroy us. And oh, by the way, let's seal the deal." And they didn't roll out a piece of paper and sign it, put a wax seal on it. He said, "You take my daughter, and you marry my daughter, and that'll seal the deal." I would have to say, I would not be surprised with the 700 wives and the 300 concubines, etc., etc., that most of them he may have never even met. They would be given a place to live and freedom to do what he wants to do, what they want to do. But in doing so, they would bring their false gods with them. They would set up their Asherah trees. They would set up all the different things that they did. And that's where they would bring the false gods in. If Solomon did not run them out, what do you do? If you don't refute something, you accept it. Simple as that. If somebody thought it was a good idea, then the next one does. But he... What, is there any other reasons, maybe? The wives bring religions, and the wives bring a lot of conflict with amongst the children. And anyone, anything else? Were any of you all your grandparents' favorite grandchild? Nobody? Oh, none. Norma says she was. I was. You were? And what did the other ones think about you? What did you say, Larry?
She was the only girl.
Oh, just because she's a girl, she's in charge? Well, that's a stereotype. Probably true, but that's a stereotype. And I was the firstborn boy, so I guess that worked for my side, too. What else? Didn't the other grandchildren get jealous?
No.
You said no. You were lucky. Because most times they do. Been there, done that. I know what you're talking about. So maybe it was inherent that the other ones did not like their cousins or half-brothers or half-sisters or whatever. Because they were getting favored. At least they thought they were getting the short end of the stick. That's the reason not to marry 700 times.
Last night on that show that we were watching, Louis Gates, that one family had 19 children. The only time she can remember interacting with her father was he came by, patted her on the head, and gave her some money. That was it.
Linda Lang, not Lucy Lang, the other Chinese news reporter. Next time you see her, huh?
Connie Chung?
No, she envied Connie Chung because she was a Chinese that made it. Yeah, but her father had 19 kids. She didn't think he knew her name. Here, have some money. And all of her life, that's all she ever knew. But the other ones got the attention. So, yes, Miss Linda. The favorite granddaughter, Miss Linda.
On the other side of the family where they didn't know who I was, we didn't have names. We went by whatever the father's name was, that's Clyde's kid. We didn't, any of his children have names. He's got five, that's his third. We never had names.
That's three out of five Clyde over there. That's a real personal relationship, isn't it?
She never knew my name. Just to put our parents.
Well, she got close. One generation away.
How old were they?
Oh, a lot. There were seven kids, and they all had 15.
Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not be among wine bibbers. All right. Winos, drunks, alcoholics. I'll put it there for you. Among righteous eaters of the flesh. Gluttons. Don't be among gluttons. They're taking care of themselves and no one else. In the time of the Roman senators, during Paul and right after Paul, their main project was to not only be the boss, but to see how fat they could get. A lot of the Roman citizens, they would be so big, kid you not, they would have a two-wheeled, you know, like we have walkers, you know, like a walker, put a big wheel on it and a set of handles like a wheelbar and make a protrusion, and they would take their belly and put it up on top because they could not walk without that kind of assistance. Now that's obese. They in all the public places, they were a building called the vomitorium, where they would go and eat as much as they could eat. Seriously. And then they would go to the vomitorium and take care of what they ate and come back and have more. They said the biggest delicacy in Rome during that period of time was hummingbird tongues. Well, now, think about it. What is more rare among animal things than a little bitty hummingbird's little bitty tongue? They would see how many hundreds they could eat at a time. That may be somewhat about this gluttonous that he's talking about? Good thing I didn't tell that on the day we're all going to dinner, Denise. It's been pretty rough. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken to thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Well, he had read evidently the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother that your days on earth may be long. He knew that was one of God's hard, fast rules. Respect your parents. Now, I'll ask you this question, which some of you will not want to answer, and I don't care if you don't, that's fine with you, but think to yourself at least. Do all parents deserve respect? Ooh, what do you mean by that, Dwight? Do all parents deserve respect? Now, let me go one step further. Are we commanded to respect our parents? Now, I didn't say to see that deserve is over here. It means you've done something to earn it. Commanded respect may be over here because God said, honor your parents. Now, they may not have much to honor them about. You know what I'm saying? It may be just your Clyde's third daughter, and your grandmother doesn't have much else to know about you, so you can't give her all that honor and respect she got coming, because all she knows is you're Clyde's third daughter. But, Charles.
You're supposed to respect your parents, but that doesn't mean you have to do everything they do. Who's a parent?
It doesn't say obey, does it? Because sometimes they're bad advice. Now, Si, you said...
I said, who's a parent?
Yeah.
Logical?
Yeah.
Or the labor of actually raising a child?
Or a good advisor. I know some people... I got you one second. I know some people that are closer to a step-parent or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent than their own biological parents because they want much to say about it. Yes, sir?
Do you honor your parents by your actions?
Yeah. What if they don't care?
It doesn't. Are we doing it for them or are we doing it for God?
There you go. Bottom line right there. We're doing this because God has given us an example. And some of our biological parents, Si, are absolutely 100% wrong about how we should honor them at all. Because they're just wrong. But we can learn. And hopefully, and I promise you, and I'll end with this one last slide, so I'll mark right here. I promise you, some of you have said, when I am a parent, I will never do this to my children. I hear a couple chuckles. Connie used to say that?
No.
Oh.
No. But just because you give birth to a baby doesn't make you a mother.
You're not a good mother. Well, now, you say it doesn't make you a mother, it doesn't make you a good mother.
Oh.
Can I say it doesn't make you a good parent? The parenting part. Giving birth biologically is quite different from raising a child in the ways of God.
But aren't you still commanded to take care of them and honor them?
Well, which question is that? Take care or honor?
Well, you might not respect them and you might not like their lifestyle, but I think if they're in need, we have a responsibility to take care of them.
Can you separate them being a parent to them just being a human being? Would you treat, my question to follow that with, would you treat them any worse than you would treat a person on the street that you met for the first time, a person in an organization or a church? Maybe we should treat them not as a parent, but as a human being.
I don't think I'd go out of my way to make sure someone else has food and doctor care. But as a parent, I felt like I had a responsibility to take care of them physically when they couldn't take care of themselves.
Well, the Bible tells us if you feel like you should do that, even Paul says that, if you feel like you should do it, you should do it. At your conscience.
Okay. So if a parent doesn't act like a parent and you've been abused, does that say you can walk away from them?
From the abuse, absolutely.
The abuse, but what about when they... When you're sick and down, do you leave them homeless at that time?
Do you have the means to do different?
Then I think you have to take care of them.
As you would just a normal person, yeah. But you don't have to have a great love for them.
No.
I think as long as you're not still being abused, though.
Yeah. If they're still abusing, then Gave you a chance, that's it.
And I think you still have a responsibility to them, to the community.
Even though they don't learn it.
Even though they don't learn it.
But that's still the Christian relationship thing, too. Any other thoughts? If not, we will pick up with chapter 23, verse 23. Denise says, just a reminder, there's a sign-up sheet in the building or over here. Sign-up sheet over there, and I'll be there on Sunday for money going to where, Denise?